Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be taken from, the first one is taken from Proverbs 23, verses 19 through 26. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will cloth them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. The second scripture will be taken from Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land.
Good morning. And thank you, Alexandra. I want to encourage you to keep reading the scriptures. Sometimes when I do this, I have to begin with a confession. I find that that's good for me. And I have a confession today to make. Usually I'm very good with sticking to the text and being concise. But for some reason, after I finished my first draft, I estimated that it was about a two-hour message. And it was just off. It was totally off. And I couldn't figure out why, and I really labored over it. And this morning it struck me. As I looked through the bulletin, I realized that the text I was using went beyond what I was supposed to be delivering this morning. So today you get a bonus verse, all right? We used to buy DVDs all the time. It was great to get bonus footage. So you get bonus footage today. But I promise you what I'm going to do, I will radically edit and I will cut out as much as I can. I'll try to be as concise as possible. And I think we can definitely be out here by 1 p.m. I'm going to promise you that. So we better begin. Now, you might not know a novelist by the name of P.D. James. I had not heard of her until I was doing my preparation, but apparently she is well known for some quotes. And I found one from her regarding children and childhood, so I wanted to read that for you. And she said, "Childhood is the one prison from which there's no escape, the one sentence from which there's no appeal, and we all serve our time." I don't fully agree with Miss James, but I believe that most children, including the children who are present here this morning, feel that way about childhood. I'm sure they absolutely hate it. They don't like the restrictions. They're told when to go to bed. They're told when to get up. They don't have a choice to stay home and play. They have to go to school and learn. And parents decide what they eat. And we all know that every child would like to have cake and ice cream every evening for dinner. Children just take orders all day. And they come to know the Nike slogan very well. Just do it, right? Just do as I say. They hate it. Well, this morning, I hope that our time in God's Word will begin to transform some minds. And I hope that the scripture that we delve into will cause our children to see that there's a privilege in being a child. There's an opportunity in obedience to parents. So most importantly, I hope that as we listen, we will see that obeying and honoring our parents reflect the divine work of Christ and give evidence of grace in our lives. Obeying and honoring our parents reflect the divine work of Christ and give evidence of grace in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we have heard some hard truths over the last few weeks, and this is similar. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us open hearts, make our hearts fertile ground. We pray that you would give us believing hearts to accept your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly see that we can live by your word, we can receive it, and we can walk in it as you have commanded. May you bless this time and bless our children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So over the last 2 weeks, we've heard God's word to wives. We've heard God's word to husbands. And we've heard some solemn teaching on the duties of each one of them. We've heard about what marriage and home is supposed to look like. Now we come to God's word to children. Although we don't often think of children, especially very young children, as having a lot of responsibilities, we think of them as being carefree. God's word to children is no less solemn. So we're going to focus on them very seriously today. And our adults, I know you might be tempted to kind of tune out because this is directed at children. But I want to encourage you that there is something in this for everyone. I know over the last 2 weeks, husbands have been listening intently to what wives should do, and wives should be listening intently to what husbands should do. Well, let's all listen, because as I said, there is something in this for all of us. Even if we are not a small child, we are all someone's child or have been someone's child. But to our very young people, teenagers and younger, especially listening, please, because I think you have the greatest opportunity to live out what we are about to hear. And it will greatly benefit you, not only now, but in the years to come. And finally, to our parents, like I said, we have bonus material. And so we will actually do very briefly Ephesians 6, verse 4. And you get to hear it again next week, but from someone else. So this morning, we're going to look at two broad headings as we consider this passage. We're going to look at commands to children and commands to parents. So first, commands to children. We see here that children are called to obey their parents. But it's not an absolute command. Tucked into this sentence is a condition. And it's just three little words that make a difference. We are told that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. Now, in the Lord means two different things. First, it means that we ought to view our parents' instructions through the lens of God's righteousness. So any instruction that we're given is tested against God's word. And the child is therefore not obligated to comply with anything that goes against God's word, either in the letter of God's word or the spirit of God's word. So I know some kids are happy to hear this, right? Because you think this is the loophole, this is the way out. But really it's not. I know you're hearing that, okay, I don't have to obey everything my parents tell me, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that only things that contravene God's word, you are not obligated to obey. And I believe in most cases, in most homes, that's a consideration for a very small number of times this will come up. You can encounter that very little, especially in a Christian home. So in other words, normal daily instructions would not go against God's word. So yes, you still have to brush your teeth. You still have to shower regularly. Now, to some children, especially very small children, those types of things get in the way of playtime. It gets in the way of having fun. And you just don't want to move away from your video game or whatever it is to shower, to brush your teeth. But when you get the command to do those things, and virtually almost any other normal, regular command, you do it. They in no way contravene God's word. But secondly, we should view obedience in the Lord as an act of worship. It's an act of worship because each time you submit to your parents' instructions, you not only do something for them, but you do something for God. And as simple as that sounds, it's really a big deal. God is big on setting up models of things that represent something more significant. He establishes objects, institutions, and actions that represent these more significant things. So, for example, we can see that in the bread and the wine that we take at communion, which represents the body and the blood of Christ. And last week, Pastor Moore showed us how a marriage between a man and a woman actually reflects Christ's marriage to his church. So those are examples of some things representing even more significant things. And we have a similar situation here with obeying parents, because we can draw a parallel between a child's obedience to parents and Christ's obedience to God. Christ was obedient to God the Father in all things, and he constantly proclaimed that. So if you go back to Ephesians 5, Paul was encouraging us to be imitators of God and to walk in the love of Christ. So this is a way that we imitate God. This is the way that we follow Christ, by following his example of being obedient to the Father. And one of the times that he proclaimed his obedience to the Father was in John 6, verse 38. In John 6, verse 38, I think it's projected for you. In fact, I will read it from here. John 6 and 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." So, children, how you relate to your parents should follow Christ's actions. You're being Christ-like when you are obedient. So in your actions, you can show obedience. In your actions, you are showing that you are prepared to put your own wishes and your own preferences down and defer to the wishes and the preferences of your parents. Your actions are literally saying, "Not my will, but yours will be done." So that's not a small thing. An act of obedience to your parents is an act of obedience to God. It is worship to God because it's actually a sacrifice that you make to him, a sacrifice of your own will to the will of others. And I'm sure that people obey their parents for many reasons. So this is where you have a carrot and a stick situation. Many children obey their parents because of a reward that they expect to get. That's the carrot. And I thought of my grandnephew, Jordan, who, if you have any type of food, especially food that he likes, you could probably get Jordan to do anything. And then there are people who obey their parents because of a stick. They will get some kind of punishment if they don't do as they're told. And I thought of myself here, because you know my parents really had a preference for the stick. I could not identify a carrot for all my time as a child. But Paul doesn't take the carrot and the stick approach when it comes to obedience. He tells us that we should obey our parents simply because it is right. So we see this very infrequently sometimes. People don't do what is right because it's right. They do things for a carrot or a stick. And I think of so many examples of maybe in organizations where people take positions, not because it's right, but because probably the most powerful person in that organization has that position. And nobody wants to oppose that person. But that's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about obeying your parents simply because it's right, not because they are powerful and they can inflict punishment on you. And what Paul is showing us is that is something as an absolute right. So in today's world, people don't really believe in absolutes. They talk about these relative things. And this is why I talked to you about a loophole, all right? You don't want to find conditions to not obey your parents. You don't want to find gray areas. It's right to obey them. So we do that. Paul is saying that God, in his rightful place as sovereign, has put in place the order of things. And that order of things calls for children to be subject to parents. That's just how it is. That is absolutely right. Children are accountable to parents. They're under the authority of their parents. And there's nothing else to be said about it. That is the absolute right thing in the order of God's ordination. And in addition to obeying their parents, children are called to honor them. And it's interesting, at least it's interesting to me, that Paul puts obeying parents sequentially in this passage before honoring them. And I don't believe that is an accident. I don't think that's coincidental. There's more emphasis on obeying parents in our early years, when we are small children. And as we get older, as we become mature and independent adults, there's less of a responsibility on the child to obey parents. But we are always, whether we are younger or older children, always required to honor our parents. And obedience to parents in our early years, when we are small children, it actually trains us to honor them even more in later years. So children, especially young children, if you persist in obeying your parents, you might start off doing it in a way that's, you know, probably you grumble when you obey. Then after some time, maybe you will grumble less. And then eventually, perhaps, you reach the point where you gladly follow the instructions of your parents. You're being trained. And we may come to the point where our hearts are so postured that in all our ways, we highly esteem our parents. And we'd hold them in such high regard that we wouldn't even think of doing anything to insult or offend them in any way. And that's what it means to honor our parents. We revere them. We cherish them with that great esteem. So, this is not just for small children. It's for all adults as well. We must all honor our parents, no matter our stature or status. And here again, we honor our parents. When we honor them, we identify with Christ. Because we see this parallel again, where we honor our parents as Christ honored God the Father. And throughout Scripture, we again see Christ honoring God. And here's what Christ tells the Jews on one occasion in the temple. He says, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There's one who seeks it, and he is the judge. So Christ's heart was postured to show reverence to God the Father. He honored God in his words, and he honored God with his actions. And we ought to do the same thing with our parents, and that's regardless of whatever age we're at. And if you think that there's ever an age where you don't have to honor parents, you just have to go a few verses deeper into John chapter 8, which we just read, where Jesus explicitly said that he is eternal. He is the great I am. None of them who were listening to him would ever imagine being at the age of the great I am. And yet we still see Christ honoring the Father. Now Paul points out that the commandment to honor our father and our mother is a special commandment. And it's obviously special when we consider its prominence in the Ten Commandments. And we've said before that the Ten Commandments are laid out in a way that we first see how we are obligated to act towards God, and then we see how we are obligated to act towards each other, this person-to-person relationship. And the first commandment that deals with person-to-person interaction really is this commandment here, honor our father and mother. So it demonstrates that God really places a premium on the relationship of parent and child. Because even before God addresses serious interpersonal sins such as murder, he chooses to say, we must honor our parents. That speaks to the importance of this sacred relationship between a parent and a child. And we should notice that God's commandment in Exodus and Deuteronomy, where we find the Ten Commandments, it says, honor father and mother. But in Ephesians 6, Paul says that we are to obey and honor. So this emphasizes the point that we said that we should respect our parents at every age. If children obey parents, they should obey with the right heart posture. They should give honor to them in obedience. Also, to honor someone is an inward thing. So we really can't see your heart. We can't see you that you honor someone with your heart, with your emotions, with your mind. But in adding obedience, when we see obedience, we have some measure of evidence that we are honoring, that there is honor for father and mother in that person. There's some degree of evidence of God's grace operating in their lives. But Paul reminds us that this is also the first commandment with a promise. God places such a premium on honoring our parents that he gives a promise with this commandment. I remember that the original audience of this commandment were the Jews who were about to enter Canaan, the promised land. And the original promise was about how God would treat those particular people in Canaan based on this condition. So Exodus 20 says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But in Ephesians 6, Paul uses slightly different language. He paraphrases the promise and he says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So he effectively removes the specific reference to Canaan to generally state just in the land. So in this, he gives assurance that this promise extends beyond the original audience in that specific geographic location. And we can take this as revelation to Paul that he speaks this authoritatively and it has become established in Scripture, so we can be confident that God gives special blessings to us when we honor our father and our mother. So then we have to consider again this carrot and this stick situation. We have to ask ourselves, do we honor our parents because there are benefits that come with it? And the answer is no. Again, we are to honor our father and our mother because it is right. But when we do as we ought to do, God has promised that we will benefit in these particular ways for doing what is right. Now that we have considered God's command to children, we're going to look very briefly at God's commands to parents. We see Paul addressing fathers in one sentence in verse 4, which I was not supposed to do. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I'm going to confine my remarks on this to probably two brief points. As the divinely appointed head of a household, fathers bear the greater burden of these instructions. But really, this applies not just to fathers, but to both parents, and it really applies to anyone who has the duty of raising children. And Paul shows that parents have a responsibility to help children obey and honor them. Parents are called to deal with their children in reasonable ways that build trust and affection between them and their children. So we can think of this as similar to what Pastor Moss referred to last week. Just as husbands are first called to love wives and encourage them through their actions to submit to the husband, parents must first nature their children to encourage them to honor them and to obey them. In some cases, we have parents who actually get in the way of their children honoring them and get in the way of their children obeying them due to their actions. A parent can deal so harshly with their children that it really damages the child-parent relationship. And in some cases, parents are so unreasonable with their demands on a child that it breeds resentment from the child. Now, in saying this, I don't mean that parents should be pushovers, and I don't mean that there should be no consequences for a child's actions. But it does mean that a parent is to deal with children in such a way that the way in which they discipline and the way in which they instruct children is to really be informed by God's word. It's to be informed by Scripture. So firstly, parents are to teach children how to live according to Scripture. And we have children's church, we have youth ministries, but these are really things that come alongside parents. The primary place for the instruction of children in godly ways is the home. And the primary person responsible for that is the father. And this instruction, it's got to be done intentionally through biblical teaching, but it's also done practically through example. So our children need to see us practicing what we say they ought to do. And that speaks more to them when we see that we actually live what we're preaching, because it shows them that we believe what we say. If they don't see it, to them, it's not a real thing. And they see no real reason to do what we say. And secondly, when discipline is needed, our discipline must be proportionate. It must be fair. And probably most importantly, it must be done in love. Our discipline can't be so heavy-handed that a child does not see love behind it. Because if our children doubt that we love them, then we're going to have a very, really big problem. We're actually going to be driving them away instead of drawing them near to us. So in conclusion, what can we say about this passage? Well, knowing what we know about our fallen nature, I believe we can conclude that children will not perfectly honor and obey their parents in the Lord, and parents will not perfectly raise children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this should all drive us to look to the one who has been perfectly obedient to his Father. It should drive us to look to Christ. So if we look at Romans 5, we can see what Christ's obedience has accomplished. Here's what Paul says in Romans 5 when he compares the work of Adam to the work of Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness led to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. As we said earlier, Christ was obedient to God the Father in all things. But here we are forced to look particularly at his obedience to the Father in going to the cross, in suffering, and dying for the sins of his people. He drank the bitter cup that should have been ours. And through his obedience, we have peace with God. Through his obedience, we have eternal life. So we can end with this. Children, from today on, I hope that you will see that obedience to parents is not a burden. And I hope that you will see that it's a chance to identify with Christ in his obedience to God. This is a chance to show yourself and to show those who are looking at you that you are among those who are ransomed by the life of Christ. So let's seize the opportunity to identify with Christ in his obedience. Let's pray. Father, we as children are called to be obedient. And we are so aware that we need your amazing grace to do this. Father, we pray that you would touch the heart of all children, especially our little ones. And we pray, Lord, that you would make it a delight to them to honor and to obey parents. And Father, we pray that they will see the blessings of which obedience brings as your word has promised them. We pray, Lord, that it will go well with them and that they will enjoy long, fruitful life. And most of all, Father, we pray that by your grace, through obedience to parents, that a watching world will see your grace in the lives of our children. May they truly reflect the obedience of Christ to you. And may you be glorified. And that we pray. Amen.